Five, four, three, two, one.
Dude, there's like a safety net where you got it says, "Hey, you're about to go live. Do you want to do it?" And I freaked out a little bit, man.
Sure.
The pressure got to me, man.
Are you really sure?
I didn't know the answer. Yeah. Oh shoot.
No, but kind of what you were hitting on, Jimmy, right? And I concur. There's good shrinks out there. I think your mates are better because you've got the experience, and to me, that's huge. So. I've been very open. I was inpatient at the VA for 6 weeks, and I wasn't there for the whole PTS thing. I was there for TBI, but they run parallel hand in hand.
Yeah.
The part that bothered me was I had this one younger doc. She was just, "Well, you're hypervigilant. It's because of the war." I said, "That's just who I am. Don't push
exactly who you are. Like exactly who you are."
You know, so I had this conversation.
Fucking temperament, who I am.
Yeah. So I asked her, I was like, "So an NFL player that can read the field and intercept the ball, he's probably hypervigilant. So he got PTS?" I said, "He probably got multiple TBIs, right?" But I said, "Come on now." And I said, "I'm very open. I said, here's my baggage. My baggage is this: the pain I caused to my family and my dead mates I never mourned for. That's my mental scars. Right? Yeah. What happened on the battlefield? Dude, I sleep like a baby. It doesn't bother me. Those savages got what they deserved." Right? Yeah. That is not. Now I got it. There's some guys that have issues with what happened.
Yeah.
I will tell you straight up, and I will be honest, and I will tell anyone and their brother, my scars from the war are I should have went home and I didn't. I lied to my wife straight up. I lied to the command. She's good. All set. I told her, "Mama, you know, Mama, they're not letting me come home." When it was Rick making the decisions, right?
Yeah.
Because again, you don't want to leave the boys there, and that's my own dramas to deal with, right?
Yeah.
And then you gotta think,
that, yeah.
You know, if you were fortunate enough, and I hate to say it, fortunate doesn't is not the right word. If a mate was killed close to the end of the deployment, there was a chance you would go actually be able to get part of the. Part of his funeral. If it was early on, man, off he went and that was it, you know, and never kind of got, I didn't want to call it closure because it wasn't closure because you never mourned. Like I know for me, when Joe Andres got killed, there's at least 2 days in there. Guys go, "Hey, you remember I remember the memorial service. I don't remember the service at the chapel." There's a bunch of things I don't remember. And I think it's important that guys talk about it, right? Yeah. And I think Pat Mack probably gave me the best advice this year, or at least the one that resonated the most. And it was this: it's like you're not mourning for them, but you're celebrating their life. Hmm. And that was the part that was like, okay, that was kind of a turning point. Does that mean the emotions go away? Nope, the emotions are still there. But there's. I've got ebbs and flows. You know, there's times you can talk about it and there's times when you can't. But I think, you know, specifically, you know, if guys are open, and I've been very open and very emotional on numerous platforms, it's okay. Guys need to understand it makes you no less of a man, no less of a warrior, no less of an alpha, whatever word you want to plug in there. I don't care. Yeah. It makes you no less. And that's really that. Been kind of my whole driving factor trying to push that message to guys. So, and I think you're kind of in the same ballpark if I'm tracking.
I tell you, brother, you know, I was talking to Mark about it briefly, and I think I got a little bit of a flow that I'm hoping that we can go through. And what I'm going to talk about, I don't know what will apply to everybody, but there will be a demographic that it's going to knock them off their fucking feet. Nobody talks about this shit. And then I'm just going to go through a little bit of what we're doing and a little bit of what I do in practice to keep myself from going batshit crazy. And I think there's some use in it, and I think it applies to almost everyone, especially the folks that are probably listening to your stuff. And I think we just I think there's a fair amount of bullshit out there. And, you know, we touched base on a little bit earlier, you know, people like, hey, you know, they're thinking you're hypervigilant. Hypervigilant's a great one where people are putting you in a category. And and some people would be like, hey, man, you just need to go to the beach and relax. I'm like, well, what the fuck did I do wrong? I don't go to the beach and hang out and do nothing like that. That's like put me in time out. And I'm like, what in the hell? Who the hell do you think you're talking to here? I mean, I don't, you know, I'm not wired that way. And I'll kind of get into a little bit. So you guys, we can take this train any which way you guys want to go. So what I tried to package it up is, you know, there's a number of folks out there. I found myself after I retired, unbelievably restless. I had some depression going in, had this sensation of, you know, not quite fulfilled, whatever. I was redlining pretty freaking bad. I went and seeked professional help. I've had some great help in the past when I was active duty. But the help that I got was probably exactly the help I needed, because it was the worst shit ever. Like, I went to this subset of whatever, and I mean, like, these fucking people couldn't spell mental health, much less help with it. And so I went and seen these folks for about, it was a couple months, man. And I was like, it's got to get better. And I was like, and I finally broke through, and I got a flag hanging in my shop, and it says, no one's coming, it's up to us. And it's a never truer statement. I just had to decide to put my big boy pants on. And I don't want to make that sound bad. I just decided that I cut out the negative bullshit. I cut back my drink, and I got back in the gym. And I just truly just started diving in, like attacking positive influences and just getting my shit together. And and just took a full ownership of myself. And it really took me on a path that was sorely needed. And let me dovetail from there a little bit. So, you know, most of the guys that we're talking to, we talked to about a little bit earlier, and they are not normal. These fucking guys are not normal. They're not. I mean, I don't talk like this, but I mean, we have to be honest. It's just, these fucking guys aren't normal. So, you know, the average Joe walking down the street, he will not understand a single thing I'm about to talk about. Mm-hmm. So the high performers and the true, true high performers, they get done with, you know, they had MIT did this survey, did this big study, and they were looking at what drives super, super high performers, super high performers. So, and they looked at a bunch of metrics. So, like, you know, the guy that's working at the factory, whatever factory job, you know, he's twisting a wrench. If you pay him a couple extra bucks, he'll twist the wrench a little faster. But at some point in time, you know, he's twisting his butt as fast as you're ever going to twist it, and that's it. Super high performers are a little bit of a different breed. So
we lost Jimmy.
You guys still got me?
I think we lost you for a second. Yeah.
You froze up.
Okay. Yeah. So what?
You froze up with it. Maybe the interwebs don't like that word. I don't know. They're always listening, brother. They're like always all sorts listening.
Of shit. Yeah, nowadays, man. Get in line with all the shit people don't like these days. But the super high performer will actually go backwards a little bit when you pay them money at some point in time. But what they do need, the super high performer guys, they need to be part of something greater than themselves, which the military was 100% amazing at. And then there's another requirement. There's this elusive pursuit of perfection, which the military always gave you. That we were always getting better tactics, techniques, procedures, weapon systems, interrelationships, what have you. And then within that, You know, there's an earned thing. It's earned, not given. Everybody probably wants it for free, but you got to earn it. Autonomy. So those three metrics are what these super high performers and these guys that were serving and girls serving in the military at the highest levels, they were getting that. You know, they're getting enough pay to pay their bills. That's all I really give a shit about. They're not money people. They just want to make their bills. And then they're like, I got the mission. I got to take care of this stuff. I'm getting better. I'm learning, blah, blah, blah. So those folks there, you know, that just goes back, like, goes super far back in the time machine. You know, that's just hunter-gatherer shit. You know, we would be getting shit done. You never relaxed because you're foraging. You're making stuff. You know, it's in their DNA. Some people, when they look at their family histories, you know, and when you look at it, like I look at my family history, and I'm not calling on anybody here at all. I mean, we weren't the smartest fucking dudes, but we were the hardest working cats on the planet. You couldn't outwork us. And as a result, we just stayed tenacity and we would get shit done. And, you know, it just I got a long history in my family of that kind of mindset. A lot of that applies to a lot of the military guys that are getting out, and going back to where people are like, hey, you just need to relax, or God forbid, take a pile of pills that are going to fucking move your mind off somewhere else where now you're like sedated. I'm like, I'll fucking kick your ass. You try to give me that shit. You know, it just,
Jimmy, I got to inject there, buddy. I got to inject there, man, because the pill thing, I will tell you this, you are your own destiny as far as the pills go, right? And you've got to stand up to the man. And I always go back to my VA story. I told him straight up, one of the things that when I went in there, I said, no pills. I said, I don't care what magic chicken bones. I don't care what holistic approach you take. I'll try it. I said, do not give me any pills. And the guy that was trying to get my sleep all situated, what do you want to do? Pump me with gabapentin. So again, I'm not a doc, right? Don't claim to be one. Do a little Googling. Gabapentin's anti-seizure medicine. I'm like, doc, what the hell is this going to do? Oh, it's going to reset your brain. My brain don't need to be reset, dude. My brain is damaged. You guys need to fix it or tell me how to fix it, or what are we doing to fix it? But I'm not dumping more chemicals in there. And guys, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but guys will sit there and, well, if doc said, I don't care. Challenge them, right?
You only get one of these.
That's it. And how many times? So it's no different when we were active. Did we always do what the command said? Or if it was like, hey, man, you know, you got to do this. Like a prime example. Hey, send your dog in that house that has 10 foreign fighters. Why? I'm going to get my dog killed. And what am I getting? Nothing. Yeah. So you go, that does not make sense. We got to come up with another course of action. I just wish guys would do that, when it comes to the pills, man. And I get it, you know, brain's jacked up, you know, body's jacked up, body's in pain. Trust me, I get it. I get it all. However, that is not your fix, because if anything, that's your detriment, and that's what's going to drive you down a road that you don't want to go. So that's one of my big passion pieces. And I'm going to tell guys this, if you're listening and you got a doc that's pumping you pills, I would go find another doc. Now I get it. You know, there's that, there's that case where, the only thing that sticks out, you know, in my head right now is like, hey, let's say for example, your thyroid not producing enough and you need some synthetic. Okay. I get it. You know, but when it comes to your brain, don't mess with the chemicals that's already in there, especially if you're a multi-TBI sufferer. To me, that's just making something bad worse. So just Rick's opinion on that one.
I 100% agree. And, you know, going back to when I got the worst medical professional ever, holy fuck. I mean, I could tell some stories about this, but, when I started reset myself, I started identifying my triggers, and what our brothers and sisters out there really, really need to do is start to get to know yourself. And I think we talked about this before, but I'll harp on it again. It's so freaking important. If you don't start at the foundation and know yourself, figure out what it is that are your triggers, you know, what's going to make you start going off the deep end, And it takes some time, and you have to do some soul searching. When you figure that shit out, then you need to start mitigating it. When I started doing that, cutting out the negative things, the things that were triggers for me, and then, you know, picking up and starting to help other folks and things like that, I started going on this trajectory, like straight up, like straight up. I mean, it was just ridiculous for me. And as a result, you know, I did, now I'm kind of trying to help other folks. You know, we just started our, I'm in the process of kicking off a 501c3. And we're really excited about it, you know, to try to help other folks. And not, I don't claim to have all the answers, but we were talking about it earlier, Mark and I, and you know, the ability to share experiences and just get like minds in here and just treat each other like men. You know, I had the entire Virginia Beach SWAT team in my shop yesterday, the entire team, and we were doing some builds together. And I literally, you know, I didn't preach, you know, just talking. I'm like, hey, man, you know, I was talking about some techniques and exactly what we're talking about here, where, you know, if your only mechanism is a bottle of booze to mitigate the stress in your life, might be going in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. Not saying you shouldn't drink. I drink, you know, it's okay. But you need to, again, know yourself and then start pumping positive influences in there. And if drinking's your only mechanism, you need to find some other ones and then just start taking care of each other and having those open conversations. And it was healthy, man. You know, just a bunch of guys talking, nobody's preaching, just, you know, a group of warriors gathering and sharing insights is not a bad thing. We had Admiral Losey was in there for a bit, spoke to him too. And it was just awesome to have such a great group of folks there. But, you know, they were building some stuff and it was nothing too complicated. It was cool. We were handling some very, very precious materials and such that they were going to be able to take with them later. But they were accomplishing something with their own hands, actually accomplishing something physical that walk out and be proud of. But also, you know, potentially learn techniques that I use to, when I'm redlining, how to get off that red line. And that's a big thing that the docs don't talk about much, and it's so hard to learn. I mean, I don't want to Shanghai. I don't want to, you know, try to act like the psychs don't know what they're talking about. They're very, very educated and smart folks. But the notion that you're going to get to know me well enough to be able to give me the prescribed mantra I need to get my headspace right. Nobody knows you like you do. You know, you got to, at some point in time, you got to start actively figuring it out, build an Excel spreadsheet if you got to, and start doing things to try to see what mitigates and gets you back to where you're a decent human again.
You know what, Jim, you bring up a great point. Rick and I had a conversation about just that. And it doesn't even necessarily mean that someone's digging themselves out of a place that they're not going in the right direction. Just maintaining the status quo and just kind of going through the motions to us, and I'm sure you agree, is just as dangerous.
Yeah, it's miserable as shit.
Yeah.
It's miserable. You know, we're race horses, gentlemen. We're it just none of this shit. Nobody's, I'm the best. No narcissistic bullshit here. Fucking realize that you're a racehorse. And then once you realize that, you're like, a fucking racehorse has got a race.
Yep.
So get out there and race and get back in there. You don't have to run. You're never going to run as fast as you used to. But you need to be out there kind of racing, because otherwise you're like, I'm not racing.
Yeah.
Make me pull a wagon right now. You know, I'm like, I don't want to pull a wagon.
Right.
I should do.
Yeah.
You get miserable as shit.
Yeah.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question, brother. Cause you talked about earlier, you know, that hard transition point. When you were getting ready to get out, did you have any clear cut, I guess guidance, for lack of better terms, what you were going to do? Did you already know what your purpose and drive was going to be? Or did you just kind of get out and going, all right, let me see where things go?
I was pretty fortunate. I knew what I was going to do. I built a giant addition on my house 2 years prior to getting out. And I kind of knew this was the path I was going to go. I got some little bit of memory issues. So the TBI, very similar. I don't have PTSD or anything. I got some memory things. And, you know, getting a GS job was not in the cards. I mean, I feel as smart as I've ever been. Well, my wife will tell you how smart that is. Too damn smart. But I feel as quick as I've ever been. But I lose information at times. And, you know, being the ops guy, and they'd be like, "Hey, Jimmy, how's that project coming?" I'd be like, "What project?" I was like, "I can't do that. I can't be that guy." You know,
right,
we got some stuff that, you know, can't be the guy that's landing this.
Jimmy,
I was forgetting.
Jimmy, but I'm with you, brother, because here's the thing, and guys need to understand, when you don't let yourself get to that point, and I was the guy that let myself get to a point that I'd read an email, let's say 7:30 in the morning, hey, 8 o'clock meeting, whatever. Okay, cool. And then I got my 2IC going, "Hey man, we going to that meeting?" And I'm going to act like the big, "Where's it at?" You know, like I'm going to quiz him because I don't know, you know, and kind of look at the clock going 10 till probably at 8 o'clock. We probably should get going, you know, and you're faking the funk. And here's the thing, man, I'm going to tell guys this, because you know as well as I, you kind of start adapting in, I don't want to say making excuses for yourself, but you kind of do. "Hey man, why is my shooting off?" "Eh, bad day," right? "Why am I not CQBing as good as I should?" "Eh, bad day," right? "Didn't sleep that good." "Neck hurt, back hurts, you know, radiating nerve pain." You come up with all these excuses. But once I started, you know, and again, I smashed the VA, but at the same token, they were a good place, you know, to be. One of the things that came out with me was, due to the whole TBI stuff, I had eye convergence issues going on. So I got one eye that's going slower than the other converging. So now when you think about, why is my shooting falling off? Because my eyes are, they're garbage, man. You know, they need to get retrained. And if I had done that sooner, if I had just, "Hey man, let's take a closer look." I would have been so much better off. You know, I didn't go to the PT till after one arm wouldn't pull and one arm that wouldn't push. And I'm like, "Hey doc, fix me." And that was just Pandora's box flapping open. And I get it. You know, guys are worried because they're going to get benched, right? I'm going to tell you this.
Terrified of it. I don't even blame them. I'm like, "I did it. I'm not proud of it. I just was like, I'm not getting off the burning Ferris wheel. I'm staying on."
No. And I get it, but I'm telling you, it's no different than, you know, the guys get busted up, they speed up their rehab, and then actually put themselves further back because they try to push it too hard.
It's vicious.
And it's one of those that I would just tell guys that are listening, if you're in that boat, and I'm a hypocrite, right? I'm going to tell you first and foremost, I'm a hypocrite for telling you this. Get yourself straight, okay?
Yeah.
If doc says take 6 weeks to get your wheel better or whatever the case may be, take the 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and go, "I'm super stud and I can cut it in half."
Yeah.
Because trust me, you know, it's no different than that old SAR major you've seen, you know, first coming in. Now I don't know how much rucking, you know, you guys were doing over on that side, but you know, rucking is kind of a army staple. So just looking at the two branches, you know, and that old SAR major, when you're sitting there doing that rucking, he's like, "If I were you boys, I wouldn't do that. What's the old man know?" Yeah, he knew everything. He was spot on.
Yeah.
And I tell guys, take it from a hypocrite. Don't let yourself go to that point. I got it. Nobody wants to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
But trust me, you will be better off. You will sit there, perform better if you just sit there and take care of yourself. So.
Yeah. So you're so freaking spot on, dude. And so I'm going to fast forward. So that's your active duty guys. And that was world-class guidance for those guys. And when they make their transition, it's time to really take a hard look in the mirror. A lot of guys will get offered some pretty sexy jobs, which is cool. And some will apply to them and be perfect for them. But you'll get, you know, maybe Goldman Sachs or some shit like that. But, "Hey, come work for us," or some high-end entity or whatever that is. You need to really be your own best friend for 2 minutes, again, and get to know yourself and make sure you're going to go because you don't have the purpose you had before. So if you're going to go into some job, and some jobs, they just don't have the purpose that others will, and you're going to have to augment that. But the kiss of death is for the gentlemen that take the job that is probably a little faster than your hard drive can run. And so they're going to be in an environment that, you know, they didn't do an honest assessment. And now you put yourself in trying to run a race that you are really struggling to keep up with. It's new. You lost your purpose. Oh my God, the fucking spiral down is just ridiculously brutal. And I have to tell you, Rick, it hurt making the assessment for me to decide to do the business. The business is doing great now, but I mean, when I decided I'm going to make, you know, a ton of plaques and shit, I mean, like that was a pretty significant shift of gears. But we're now doing industrial stuff, and which is awesome. But that being kind to myself and honest with myself, single best decision I made, because I set myself up to grow in this next chapter. And I'm not saying everybody should take a job, a step down or whatever. I'm just saying you got to be honest with yourself. If you do have some baggage, you know, if your vision's off and some other shit and all sorts of other shit going on and you're struggling here and there, biting off this big hardcore next crazy job, could really hurt you. And I'm not telling people to be quitters. I'm not trying to say it, just,
no,
you know, fuck, man. You know, you're just another guy out there being miserable as shit, trying to do something that there's no fulfillment in there. He's getting run down because he can't hardly keep up with what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Not a good combo.
Yeah. But Jimmy, you're saying some critical words, man. And to me, that key word is purpose.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if I could tell you the number of guys I talk to, they're getting ready to get out. First question I ask, hey man, what are you doing? Figuring it out. That's, dude, you're already behind the power curve.
Yeah.
You know, at least, and I try to tell everybody, if it were up to me, I would have every single veteran that's getting out go be an entrepreneur. You know, literally. Because that way, yeah,
literally,
because you find what's your purpose? I don't care whether your purpose is woodworking, brewing beer, basket weaving, knitting. I don't, painting, pick your poison. I don't care.
They'll be great at it.
Exactly.
And there's people that help them be great at it.
100% there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's the, you know, nobody's asking these guys, you know, hey, what's your purpose? And then the other part is you kind of hit, you know, the nail on the head. These guys' identity is tied to either their title, that organization they belong to, and it can't be. You know, your identity is you. So for me, it's, hey man, my identity is Rick Hogg. That it's not, man, my past. It's not, you know, don't get me wrong, super proud of what I did, you know, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But that's not me, you know, or I said, that's not me. That's not my identity.
Yeah.
And as soon as guys can understand that, I think that that's the other portion, this whole equation, you know, you're your own identity, find your purpose, and man, trust me, and reach out to your mates, man. That's the other thing. Like I did not do a good job at that, you know, because guys are in the same space. What are they going to say? You know, you're sitting there. It's kind of like, you don't want to sit there and ruffle the feathers. So there was a lot of treading water when I didn't need to be treading. I could have been just out swimming, you know, making progress.
But look at you now. I mean, like, you're a perfect example of what the guy should, you know, you took that, you've obviously thought on it hard. And then you're like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And then we're just going to share. And then we're just going to talk like men and, you know, lift up the dress a little bit. So people just like, we don't shy away from the hard subjects. And then people can, when you got two brothers talking, you're like, hey man,
yeah,
sounds like you're drinking a little too hard. I ain't telling you what to do. I ain't your dad. I ain't your mom. But I mean, like, bro, can't fucking think if you're drunk all the time. You know, maybe you should, you know, and I've had guys in the shop that have PTSD to whatever else. And, you know, when they come in, we just talk, you know, and nobody's preaching, nobody's doing whatever. And sometimes I'll be like, Jimmy, you need to lighten up on that shit, because I'll get a little too focused. And, you know, that's helpful. They're like, hey, dude, lighten up, you know, and that's good shit. That's good shit.
But see, you've got to, man. And the thing is, that's what guys need. Sometimes they need just that little reality check to sit there and go, you know, because that little tidbit of information come out, right? Hey, man, you're hitting the bottle a little bit too much. Hey, dude, I can't sleep. Okay, cool. Thank you. Now, what is it? So, you know, let's look at this this population that we're in, right? I like the racehorse analogy you put. Mm-hmm. Very true. Why is it that all of these racehorses have quote unquote obstructive sleep apnea? It's not obstructive, man. It's a misdiagnosis. It's central sleep apnea, because it goes back to the brain, because nobody wants to address that point, you know? So you get a guy, like in my case, part of it was, yes, I'm going to self-diagnose and say I had central, because what obstructive do I have? Okay. And then the other part is gathering info from my wife. You know, when you sit there and moan and hoop and holler at night, because, oh, your body when it's sleeping actually is inducing, you know, or being induced with pain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it doesn't make for good sleep. So if you're not sleeping, you're not rejuvenating your brain, which is already jacked up. I mean, it just goes down the road, right? So what do? You hit the bottle, right? You hit the bottle to blackout, because when I black out, at least in my mind, I'm sleeping. Yeah. Dude, I got me a solid 8 hours. I might feel like a bag of ass tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, you know, us girls talk, and that's helpful. And, you know, I literally, you know, it's so important just to share. And nobody needs to, you know, we're guys and we're talking and just sharing ideas. You know, what works for one guy will not work for another. You know, I have folks coming to shop and I'm just like, hey, man, you guys want to come in? You can come in. Mm-hmm. You know, we do high end metal, high end wood. If that appeals to them, the tech side of it or whatever. Great. And other guys want to do other shit, you know, maybe not a blacksmith or some shit. I don't know what they want to do, work on guns and shit, but, I try to find the guys who, relate to the stuff. And then again, there's that pursuit of perfection. We're always making something for somebody else. Nobody's making their own shit coming here. Like, I want to make shit for myself. I'm like, the me program somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking ain't it. But, you know, so it's, they come in, they're making stuff for other people. They start building themselves up, and it's real. They accomplish it. And then in there, we just talk. You know, we're just like, you know, what's going on? You know, and they'll see me. I get all fucking crabby and shit. Like, you know, half the time, it's just because I'm hungry or something like that. But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, it's helpful. You know, guys can just talk to each other. And that. I think that metric, you know, I'm blessed where I got, you know, I got the guys coming in the shop every single day, different guys, like literally every day, every freaking day. And it helps, you know. I still, you know, I've got a place where I can touch base with those guys. You guys kind of got a similar thing, obviously, here. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the answers for our other brothers out there, but I would encourage them to try to find that. And if you can't find that, you know, they're probably were fairly senior or learned a bunch in the military, and take those attributes and go find a Boy Scout troop or something and start leading some young men. As you start thinking about how to positively influence them, you will positively influence yourself. You know what I mean? You're like, okay, you know, like today I'm thinking about, okay, what am I going to talk about here? You know, and it just kind of, it's a great little reset button. And as you help mentor and work with people and build them up, dude. People are like, Jimmy, you're always hooking people up. I'm like, I'm hooking my fucking self up, brother. I mean, like this shit, I get it back tenfold, and it just really, really, if I don't do this, I'm fucked. You know, I get destroyed if I don't do this.
Yeah. You know, the purpose thing, is so important, because Rick hit on a little bit that uniform services, regardless if it's first responders, military, whatever, they really struggle with leaving that so-called identity behind.
Yeah.
And you see it when guys, and there's a couple of guys that I'm concerned about that I see that are coming to forced time. So it's almost over. You have no choice in it.
Yeah.
You've extended, you've done this program to the point where you're running out of time. And you hear them say it, man, I've only got 6 months left. I've only got 18 months left. What are you going to do? Oh, I'll get something. That they have absolutely no idea because they are so focused and so intertwined with what they're doing right now that even if they had a plan, if they can't let that go, it's going to be difficult for them.
The passion
helps with that.
Yeah. You know, those guys usually are packing their time with diversionary bullshit. I'm going to go take a trip to Ontario or some shit, which, don't get me wrong, taking trips is good, but like jamming her time full of bullshit. I'm going to go ride my motorcycle over here, and then I'm going to do this other shit, and I'm going to go fuck around, do whatever other thing. Like, dude, you take 2 minutes, do your fucking homework, and get your shit together for your next chapter, because you deserve to be happy. But I know people think everything's owed to them nowadays. Nobody owes you shit. And you got to go earn it, man. And set yourself up for success, man. You know, your stories about the guys are just like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I had a guy, very senior guy in my shop the other day. It's pretty rare in my community. The guy's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I mean, this guy was like 28-year guy. And exactly the same. I was like, what are you going to do? He's like, I have no idea. And I was like,
yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's the definition of terror to me. I'm like, I have no plan. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know,
but see, here's the thing, Jimmy, right? I think here's where we do an injustice is there needs to be some talk, you know, basically, hey, when you get to the organization, just plant some seeds. Right. Not saying that you've got to sit there and go, yep, you guys are out next week. Nope. Hey, man, here's some things to think about. Here's resource available. Cool. And then there needs to be something where there's marks hit. So here's a prime example. Let's just say, hypothetically, you have in your mind when you retire, you want to bid on government contracts. Okay, cool. And you know what? You want to get that service disabled veteran owned small business eligibility from the VA and get that certificate and go good to go. Cool.
How cool would that be?
Right.
Matt.
So you get out, you go to put your paperwork into the VA, and the VA goes, hey, you got to be in business 3 years. Wow. Wouldn't have been nice to know 3 years ago. I could have established
4 years ago would have been nice to know.
Well, 4 years ago, but
yeah,
you know, I could have at least established my company on paper.
My head hurt right now. Like, I was joking. I mean, shit pisses you off so bad. You're like,
you know,
yeah.
Or here's another prime example, at least in the state of North Carolina. So the state of North Carolina has the scholarship for children of wartime veterans. If your child was born in the state, which most of the guys, they were, and oh, you retire in the state, I'm not saying you've got to stay here, but here's food for thought. If you do stay here, the state of North Carolina will put your kids to school for free.
Wow.
You know?
Awesome.
But why aren't guys, why am I telling guys that are getting ready to get out, hey man, did you hear this? Nope. Why isn't that word being trickled down? Yeah. Because again, I'm not trying to get people to stay here, but it's nice to know financially, man, do I have to take on a financial burden? Or do I got to split my GI Bill up into so many different ways to try to cover my kids? Or you know what? I can stay here for a couple more years if that's what I want. Get my business up and going, doing whatever. Kids can go to school here. And then boom, you know, my kids get out of school debt free. That was, you know, just passing that little bit of information. So that's what I'm saying. There's got to be some sprinkling where guys are just getting some information. And if they've got the information, then they can start processing, hey, what am I going to do? You know, and just look at, bring guys in. Hey, man, tell us about the struggles of entrepreneurship. Trust me, it is not easy. But here's the thing. It keeps you going every single day because you're always figuring something out.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know? It's awesome.
It is.
Awesome. Hardest thing I ever did. Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
But that's purpose. That's drive. Yeah. You know, you're getting your name, your brand, your product, whatever it is that you want to do, you know, now versus, you know, kind of working for the man, you are the man. And it's just a mind shift change. But I just, there needs to be some sprinkling across the board. And that's the one thing, you know, I would say doesn't happen. I can't speak for the Navy, but the Army's boots to business program, worst ever. You know, yeah. Don't tell me to go to SBA and get a loan. Really? Yeah. And then I get out and I'm sitting there, know nothing about social, right? Because I was in that generational era where social wasn't a thing. Mm-hmm. Industry partners want to know, hey, where's your social? What do I know about websites, logos, trademarks, you know, patents, U.S. manufacturing? The list can go on and on. Oh, don't forget your CPA because is it better to be an S-Corp or LLC? You know, all this stuff could have been, you know, being educated beforehand, but it was just a waste of time. You know, now you're sitting there going, what do I do? And now you're just playing catch up. It's
there is a group that the Honor Foundation just got down to Fort Bragg.
Yes, they did.
They're touching on that a little bit. I know those guys well. I do a lot of work. I got the local events.
I had a chat with those guys, and yes, 100% what they are doing is spot on. But again, I'm speaking from my experience. So there was no Honor Foundation. When I was getting out.
Yeah.
But what those guys are doing is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I am 100% blown away. And yes, I am going to get part of that because, again, when you look at all of our purpose, the underlying factor is this: it's service. And it's not service to self. You know, it is that service. You know, how many times you sit there and go, hey, man, if you need something, let me know. Yep. And you say it with sincerity. It's just not lip service. You help people out. That's, you know, so when you talked earlier as far as this this altered DNA, right? To me, that's an underlying factor. You look at everybody across the board, and it takes a while to realize that. But they all, you know, that's part of the purpose is helping other people out or service, whatever word you want to use. That's one of the key things that I have seen.
So. It's mandatory. If you're not doing it, you have to do it. I mean, you have to do it. And you'll get back your money every time, all the time.
Yep.
You know, it's just
best payday ever.
Literally.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps you sane, you know, and then when you get off the ME program and you start getting back to what we did for years and years, where you're focusing on other folks and things like that, you start forgetting your problems and you start like, hey, I got this thing. I'm taking care of these folks. I got the SWAT team tomorrow and I got the church next week and I got the men's group on Friday and whatever. I got all this stuff going on. And those are feel good things. You help where you can. Don't overtax yourself, but do it. And man, it's rewarding. And again, for me, it's a source of happiness. That's where my happiness comes from, where I'm able to do that and make a positive impact. And it really is it's as important as going to the gym or eating healthy or anything else.
Mandatory. So this new project that you had mentioned earlier, where you're starting to get it set up, and what type of program is that going to be? And when do you think that's going to kick off?
So we've been doing it for a couple of years, just professionalize it because the money has a hard time flowing. I'm working with over 20 foundations, and it's hard for them to move the money towards our way if they want something done because we're not a 501c3. So between first responders, we got kids we bring in. We do this cool ass thing with the kids. So the kids come in, church groups come in, and the kids build a Maltese shield, and it's cool. So the Maltese shield dates back pre-First Crusades, not even on the religious stuff. It's just so it was a bunch of dudes that basically people were getting robbed on this route, and they were like, hey, you know what? We're going to just get a few of us and stop that shit from happening. They kind of protected these people on this route, and it kind of turned into this religious military order. And so what they did was, you know, they got the cross on there. And so each arm of the cross has tenets associated with what a warrior should be or a man. And then each point of the cross has tenets associated with it. which is pretty cool. But being, you know, humans, like we are, we keep making shit up. So the cool thing is there's way more tenants than there are points. So what happens is the kids come in, father, son, build, they literally build a shield together, 100% functional shield, it's badass. But the kids sit down and lead the ethics discussion with dad on what the attributes of a warrior or a man are. And they look at all the ones, and sometimes they pick their own, which is even better, you know, and they just sit down and, you know, they got this bonding thing going on between father, son, and then this kick-ass ethics discussion going on. And it's just so awesome. And we'll, throughout the day, you know, we buy pizza and shit like that. But the kids sit down, there's purpose breaks. So, you know, part of it, I don't talk any religion in there. I'll leave that to the pastors. You know, I'm pretty faith oriented, but I know I don't know enough to be trying to preach, so I don't preach. But, I do know men, you know, I know warriors, you know, I know that shit. So we'll have short breaks and we'll talk about management of stress, management of difficult situations or whatever that is, and just communication and things like that. And we'll have these little round, you know, when we're taking a break, we'll have just this round group discussion. And the kids are literally like looked at 100% as peers. So like everybody's waiting to hear what they got to say as much as the dads. And at the end of it, the probably the coolest thing, like I'm just kind of watching the crowd as the whole thing happens. You know, we're not really building shields that day. They all come and walk away with a shield, but we're not fucking building shields. Cool. I see a lot of the men have never had anybody even mentor them. They're a grown man. They got kids. Nobody's ever even gave them a resource to talk about, and we give them all the video files that they can kind of access and such. And so they got some resources, the kids, and it's, you know, the kids learned a bunch, and it's just a great mentoring thing, bonding type thing. And so that kind of tone, you know, we got Boy Scouts coming in, we got all sorts of different things. So that's kind of the direction we're going. We will always serve the wounded warriors, but I don't get that many in there. I mean, it's got to be a guy that kind of wants to do metal or wood, and we'll always have our doors open up. But that's really the focal point of what we're trying to do. We're making a shit ton of stuff for different folks. We had political leaders in there recently. We just finished up this World Trade Center build. It's going to get dedicated on Saturday. It's a big deal. I mean, we got literally pieces of the Pentagon glass in there, a bunch of artifacts from the World Trade Center. We had locally, we had well over 70 first responders respond to 9/11, primarily at the Pentagon for us. And so we built this big piece, and there's a bunch of ceremonial rivets, decorative rivets that go around the piece. And each one of the first responders or their past, their family member came in and are putting in rivets throughout the piece. We're documenting it all. It's just awesome. So that's kind of stuff that we're doing. It's exciting, man. It's just really, really exciting.
Isn't so, that amazing, Jimmy, though? Go ahead, Rick.
No, I just got to say, sorry to cut you off, Mark, but I got to inject on the father-son deal, right?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say, exact same thing.
I'm going to speak just from my experiences, because I was fortunate enough to do some of those when I was in. And the program was called BAM. It was Becoming a Man, and it was kind of geared at different ages. Same thing, you know, over a weekend event, doing different things, you know, chatting with your son, you know, so the kids would have some stuff, you know, the dads would have some stuff, come together, do some stuff. But my son still talks about that to this day, because it was funny. We were up blacksmithing, and he ended up, check this out, the boy broke off a hunk of the anvil and got it in his thumb, you know, and they pulled it out, put it in a cup, you know, and he still talks about that, you know, out of nothing else. It was one of those, I busted the anvil and got it in my thumb. You know, it's like, yeah, pal, you know?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
But I'm just telling you from someone that's been on the recipient side of those type of events. And I get it. The religion thing, you know, trust me, your faith will plug things in enough if people are short of that. And I think you hit another key point. just being vocal in your faith, right? That's it. You don't necessarily have to preach. Yeah. And here's the thing. I don't know a whole bunch of Bible verses, but I do know, you know, Romans 13:4, and I'll let you guys go look it up, but it's really got nothing about leading people to Christ, more about being an agent of God, but whole sidebar deal. Oh yeah. I can actually quote that one verbatim, but yeah, go ahead, Mark.
You know, the father son stuff too, is it just to comment on that is it is amazing. And it's a blessing that in your particular situation with what you're doing, Jimmy, and we've experienced this a little bit ourselves, Rick and I, is you're touching those young men who have those kids with them just as much as the kids. They need it too. They're just looking for something that's going to make them continue to look for something that's going to benefit the kid. But I do believe that in general, if those who believe what they do here is affecting what happens to them later, generally they tend to be a little bit of a better person than they might not have been. So just to let you know what happened, you were frozen with a mean face for a good 15 seconds. So we'll make sure we're not going to edit. That's not going to hit the cutting room floor. So, but we'll wait till Jimmy comes back here. He's in and out a little bit, but what I was saying was, it just seems like, you know, a lot of people shy away when you start to bring in faith, but in general, I believe that if you feel that what you're doing here is affecting what's going to happen to you later on after we're done here, you tend to be a better person. So that's kind of my take on that.
And now he's froze with a smiley face.
I need to take a picture of that.
That's the behind the scenes right there.
Got me, brother. Sorry about that.
No. Nope.
Hopefully we won't have drama. I got a storm coming in here.
Yeah.
You were frozen. You were frozen like that for about 15 seconds. Of course, I captured it for everybody to see forever. So
I don't know what she sees in me, but yeah.
You can thank us later when that hits the social.
But here's the other thing, Jimmy, that I got to hit on this, the other key part to it, right? It's injecting masculinity into these young men, I will just call it a very feminine world we're in.
Yeah, that's a huge one, buddy.
He's saying something exciting, and I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing that the injecting masculinity, being edgy, being a man, being this person that says, hey, you're stepping on my freaking shoes. Stop doing that. You know, it's okay. I'll treat you with respect. Respect me. Respect each other. Not going to say it nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's no different. You know, it's there's some lost art out there, right? So you just kind of watch people holding the door for a lady, right? Or here's a better one. You got a mom coming in with a stroller, struggling to try to get through the door. And you watch all these dudes like just blow past her. It's like, really? Yeah. How about you grab your bootstraps there, man? Hold the door for mom.
Yeah. Open it down the door. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it there's so much stuff, man. It's just like me. And it gets out of control. But what you're doing, man, you know, father, son, you know, just helping people out, getting people to talk. And I think that's the key stuff, you know, for our guys is them to talk. And then, oh, by the way, it's okay to be emotional. You know, people need to understand there's no shame in crying, you know, that is part of the healing process. I'm here to tell you, because I was the moron that didn't, right? I kept basically all my dead friends in a box for many, many years. And trust me, it is very unhealthy. Cause then I basically have to unpackage all that stuff and try to deal with it, well after the fact. And then, you know, you get dramas and issues and everything else, but it's having those conversations with people. Like, we can have a conversation. We may or may not. We have not experienced the same exact thing, but we have been in the same places or same situations that's similar enough that people can connect. And that's the thing guys need to understand. If you can find that other service member that has similar experiences, I don't care what branch they were in. Trust me, there can be some healing that goes on as long as they're willing to be open. And it's a no judge zone, man. You know, it's,
yeah.
Hey, man, you want to vent? You want to get some stuff off your chest? You want to say, hey, man, this is bothering me? Let it out by all means. You know, that's how you get yourself better. That's how you quit, you know, needing to sit there and hit the bottle and take the pills and do everything else. You clean up some mental rubbish, yeah. You know, and don't forget, man, here's a key thing. We used to sit there and work out all the time when we were in. Why do we let that go as soon as we get out?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, and you know, with the kids and the dads, I mean, the exact same way. When I run my shop, I run it exactly like a SEAL team, not kind of like a SEAL team. It's a freaking SEAL team. And so everybody that comes in there, you know, whether it's the kids or the dads, wherever, everybody gets talked to like a man. And just, and like you're talking about, we don't have to be all soft. And I'm not saying we're harsh or mean, but we just talk. Like, and I think there's an empowerment of a young man as talked to with the respect. Yep. You know, I'm speaking to him like I would speak to another 53-year-old man. And he's like 12. He's like, holy shit, this guy's empowering me. And maybe I should man up and respond. And they do. They're begging for it. And, you know, showing dads that, hey, don't speak down to your kids. I never spoke down to my kid. I just talked to him like another man. And we have a great relationship because of that. And it would be awesome. Sometimes he'd be like, Dad, you're being an asshole. we had that relief, but then you know, if when you can't have that discussion, how do you get trust and how do you move to a positive place when you know, and just, it's not a free-for-all, I'm not saying that, but this open, this unfiltered dialogue has to happen. And the more we try to soften it, oh my gosh, we're actually going backwards.
Because you want them to come to you with their problems. You don't want them to go to one of their peers who's got no time on this planet and is going to give them horrible advice anyway. Or worse yet, they're going to go to the Google machine and see what Google's got to give them some, you know, stupid answer for. It's like, let's get some life experience, you know, and just do it that way. But golly, man, it's just, it was funny. Because I was talking the other day on some stuff, the family nucleus is so broken. And that, if we can start getting the family nucleus back, and again, empowering our young people, because here's the thing, dad's got to do things with daughters as well. And trust me, you can do some cool stuff with your daughters, right? You can sit there and do your daddy-daughter dance on one side, treat her like a princess. But trust me, they'll go out whitewater rafting with you just as well. You know, so it, you have that balance that you do with them. But it's getting that same token. And unfortunately, there's no real good playbook for dads. You know, it's kind of, you got to learn, each kid's different. But man, doing things collectively with those individual kids. And I was fortunate enough to have one of each, right? I felt kind of bad for the dads that had two sons at some of these events. Because then it's like, you know, trying to split the time. And some dads just were like, hey, man, I'm spending time with this one here only, and then we'll catch you the next go around, and we'll get the other one the next go around. So it's giving that undivided attention, because you want those kids to feel special, man. You want to empower them. You want to inject some masculinity and go, hey, man, here's the next group of kids that's going to lead society. Let's start building them now.
Yeah. Training champions. We got a big sign on the wall, man. It's like, we are training champions. It's on the wall. Look at that.
Yeah.
We're going someplace.
Do you get to touch it when you walk out the door?
It's a little too tall for the crumbs.
You don't have a step stool?
Keep them down. I build them up and then I push them down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Halloween.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Well, with how things are going right now, it seems like everything's coming out of your shop and coming off your social is very positive. It's always got a very positive message, and that's what we really need. And you don't pull any punches, but yet the information you're given is something that everybody needs to hear. So big thanks for you to come back. You're a two-time offender now. Two-time offender on the show, so we really appreciate it. Yeah. And we're looking forward to seeing what you have, you're unveiling.
For the World Trade Center? That's going to happen Saturday morning. The first one will be at the Firefighting Training Academy. And then there's another one for the big city public one that's going to happen later that afternoon at Mount Trashmore. So that's a pretty big deal for us. That's
awesome.
We're really, really privileged to be part of that. I mean, no shit. Especially nowadays, I wish people could have seen. I've had a lot of people coming in a shop, and every single one of the first responders are getting up there in age. You know, they're probably getting 70s, for most of these guys. And they were, each one of them shared their story of what was happening, what their mindset was, what's going on now. And they really treated the whole piece and the thing with dignity. I mean, my team's so privileged to be part of that. It's really, I wish we had videotape of it nonstop because it really humbled me. You know, we're just amazing opportunity to be part of that.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be amazing because there's no reason why it won't be. All the stuff you guys do is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Mark.
Matter of fact, the sign right here, that's a Seal Artisan piece right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for sale, guys, so don't even ask.
Jimmy, one thing before we go, man, I gotta hit this up with you. And you know, Mark, you're on board with the same thing here. We gotta hit suicide awareness. I think we'd be amiss if we don't. I'm just gonna say, hey man, if you're out there hurting and you think that taking your own life, you got me, Jimmy. You kind of frozen again.
Yeah.
We'll give him a second here. Jimmy, just give us a holler whenever you kind of. There we go.
I got you now. I missed you at suicide awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just want to hit on the whole suicide awareness.
Yes, sir.
I know between me and Mark, you know, we've been affected. I'm sure you have as well. You know, from different people, you know, but here's the thing. Just if you're out there hurting, you think that life is so bad that you need to end your life, I'm going to tell you don't. I'm going to tell you first and foremost, I think it's selfish because you're going to leave more wakes in the path. Trust me, there's nothing that bad that you can't reach out and get help for. Whether it's your mates, whether it's the National Suicide Hotline, there's help out there, but I'm just going to say, make it as easy as I can. Don't do it. You know, find somebody that you can reach out to and extend that lifeline. And I will just kind of give you my two cents and, you know, one of my experiences. You know, I had a buddy of mine committed suicide, and I'm sitting there burning through my text chain looking, going, where did I miss it? Where did I miss it? And I did. There was nothing there. Gave zero indication. But my point being is, guys, if you are in that boat, do not do it. It's not worth it because you're going to cause more drama than what you think you're fixing than whatever kind of your problem is. Trust me, reach out. There's help out there. Plenty of people will help you and get you over this hump. But I throw it out there. And trust me, it doesn't matter what demons, dramas, issues you think you have. It can all be fixed and addressed. So,
yeah, I tell you, Rick, it's a great point. I lost a brother to suicide. And I can tell you, it's just it was literally like a nuclear weapon dropped on my family. Just decimation was just complete. It just destroyed everyone. Yeah. If my brother had any idea of the negative impacts of his decision, you know, he would have never done it. I mean, and you know, the most of the guys, I believe, you know, when this happens, they get super emotional real quick, and they're looking at making this quick rash decision. Mm-hmm. I would encourage them to go back to your old school ways of smooth as fast. Slow down and just think about it for a half second and get your clarity and get your bro or get whatever. And we do a lot of shadow boxes, and some of those shadow boxes are for folks that take their own life. And those are easily the most difficult ones that we ever built because I take it on as that we have to give the family back their dignity and respect and there's a, you know, and try to get away from that stigma, you know, and the shame that's associated with that. And it's just, man, if folks could see, you know, the faces and the families that come in and pick those pieces up that we make, to a person, I mean, like they would stop. They would it's just beyond catastrophic, Yep. You know, everybody gets sad and things go bad and people make huge, really bad mistakes. There's tomorrow, you know, and
yep.
you know, guys like us, everybody on the screen, there's a lot more of us out there, and find one of us, come to my damn shop, you know, wherever, you know, it's important, you know.
And then the same thing, guys, just need to reach out to your mates, man. I mean, technology is easy. You know, I'm not a big fan of technology, but at the same token, it's easy to reach out. Shoot a guy a text, man. If you haven't talked to, you know, one of your teammates in who knows however long it's been, shoot him a note. I said, hey, man, how you doing? Just want to check in. And that might be all it takes. You might be sitting there because there's been plenty of stories of people sitting there getting ready to commit the deed. And that phone pops. And it stops them in their tracks, you know. So just be a good mate and reach out to your buddies.
Trust your instincts. Instincts are something, man.
Yeah.
So. Well, thanks again for being on here, Jimmy. Good luck this weekend. We're going to be watching. Really looking forward to seeing that. So, again, thank you for your service, your continued service, and thanks for everything you do. And thanks for being on the show, pal.
Hey, I'm proud to be here and hope to host you guys sometime in the shop because
I was going to come up. So I was going to come up a little bit too soon and too rash. But we're well in my particular situation. Yes. You know, but no, it was all,
you know,
yeah.
I trust you.
You know, one good thing too, though, Rick, you know, I just got word that my oldest is going to be real close to you. It's going to be assigned there in about a year. So
say that again.
Andrew's going to be assigned real close to where Jimmy's at.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So,
yep.
We're going to be over there all the time, man. You're never going to get rid of us.
We'll be banging on the door, man.
I like it. I got bugs for you. I'll keep you guys away.
Keep those army guys away.
I got some bear spray too, you know. Oh, I'll bring my SEAL club. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Oh, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks again, Jimmy. You really appreciate it, pal.
Yeah, love you guys. Be good, man.
Love you, pal. You stay.
Take care, buddy.
Love you. My Frankenstein.